Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Huk from PPF. On behalf of the company, I would like to welcome you to the conference call where we are going to present and discuss the company's results for the first half of this year. We will take you through the presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of PPF Telecom Group, www.pptelecom.eu, in the investor section under the financial reports header. Let me introduce today's speakers who will be giving the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Mr. Balázs Sharma, the Chief Executive Officer of PPF Telecom Group, Marek Sláčik, the Executive Director, Chief Commercial Officer, and Chief Sustainability Officer of PPF Telecom Group, and Lukáš Kubesa, the Financial Manager of PPF Telecom Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on our operating and financial performance, followed by a Q&A session to answer questions that you might have. And with that, let me hand over to Mr. Balázs Sharma to commence the presentation.
Thank you, Jan, and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Balázs Sharma, and it's an absolute pleasure for me to be joining for this call for the first time. As Jan said, I have joined the PPF Group very recently in July this year. And just a quick introduction about myself. So I've been working in telecom industry globally for about 27 years now. I've worked of the 27 years, about 20 years with Vodafone Group, where I have held various positions in India, then also CEO of Malta, CEO of Vodafone Czech Republic, CEO of Vodafone Idea, the India JV of Vodafone, so the founding CEO of that. And then lastly, I was the managing director of Vodacom South Africa. So from there, I've joined here in July. Very happy to join the team, where I will be joining my colleagues to set the group on a new development curve. As you know, the group structure has been transformed significantly in the past 3 years, and now it's time for us to exploit the business opportunities enabled by the new operating model. So all set to start with that. Now, if you would please join me to move to the slide 4, so I could take you through the first part of the presentation. Looking at the executive summary, starting with the marketplace itself, the market construct, operating environment has been very stable and favorable in all the markets that we operate. We've grown our total number of customers to 17.9 million, and this growth has come from across all our markets. The structure of our customer base is also continuously improving, where we've sustained growth in postpaid customers even as the overall customer base has been growing. The biggest driving force for this, we believe, has been the rise in our 5G mobile services. The 5G network rollout for us is now underway in 4 of our 5 markets. And even in Serbia, where we are already overhauling our mobile network and preparing for the 5G. Therefore, when the 5G spectrum becomes available in that country, we will hit the ground running. So 4 of the 5 markets already on 5G, and that reflects in our growth on the contract base and the overall base. Secondly, we posted a strong headline growth in EBITDA after leases that looks at 7.2% YOY. However, that is somewhat boosted by one-off items and the FX impacts. So if I took those out, we still have an underlying growth of a robust 6% year on year. Moving on to the corporate structure part, O2 Czech Republic and O2 Slovakia are now 100% consolidated into the PPF group, and the Slovak infrastructure was separated as communicated earlier, but now separation completed from the commercial operations back in June. And therefore, and as a result of our separation of the assets in Setin or in Setin, we moved the assets into Setin, and then we have had a 30% of stake sale of Setin Group to GIC as also communicated in principle earlier, but that's concluded now. And therefore, the operating model, as I'll talk in the following slide, is now all set for moving into exploitation from here. Fourthly, moving to the fourth pillar of it, Saturn Group has issued its inaugural investment-grade euro bonds in April in a very difficult market situation following the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. And we've effectively led to reopening of the market as the first private issuer from the CEE. All the proceeds for this were used to partially refinance Saturn Group's term loans using this inflow. We can move now to the slide 6. Slide 5 talks of the history, but I will go specifically into some of the recent developments in it. Slide 6 is about the spectrum options update, where, as you would notice from the slide, no major movements on spectrum options this year. In Slovakia, we succeeded in securing important spectrum gains in the 3.6 band. In a reallocation that will actually become effective from September 2025. You can also see that the auctions of major bands of 5G spectrum are now behind us in three of our northern markets, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. And there is nothing expected now in the remaining 22. And maybe in 23, we look at Bulgaria's 700 and 800 spectrum and Serbia's overall 5G spectrum coming up, and we look forward to that. We've already in 2022 made a major disbursement for the spectrum acquired in Hungary, and no other major spectrum payments are expected in near future. Moving to slide 7, if you may, talking of the structure then. So on the left-hand side of the slide, you will see the recap of the consolidation of the group's stake in O2 Czechia in a three-step process costing us about €1 billion of investment. We moved sequentially to come to a 100% consolidation of O2 Czech Republic and a separation of O2 Slovakia that followed that. So this process that we talked about in March in detail has now been concluded, and on the last day of February. As you can see, the consolidation required, as I said, more than $1 billion in total. But having reached the full ownership, we were able to then decouple the ownership of O2 Czechia and Slovakia. And then we've separated, as I said in the earlier slide, the Slovak infrastructure, thus making our operating model more consistent across the subsidiaries. So everywhere we now have an operating model, which I'll talk in the next slide, of ServCo and our CustomerCo and the NetCo separated. On the right-hand side, we talk about on the slide of the EC inquiry that, again, we talked about in March. The only change from there is that on 11th of July this year, the EC has finally officially closed the inquiry, accepting the commitments jointly proposed by PPF and Deutsche Telekom. As we see, this ruling opens the way for further potential network sharing partnerships, which is one of the features of PPF's innovative telco operating model. More on this on the next slide. So I'm coming now to the slide 8. As you can see on this slide, the key features of PPF's operating model is the separation of network assets and wholesale infrastructure services from the services commercially provided to the end users and the related sales and marketing, customer relationship, and other activities. So therefore, very clear segregation of the two, bringing clear focus on creating the network and so to say the minutes and the gigabits factory on one side, and on the other side, acquiring the customers and serving those customers and taking care on a wholesale arrangement through the network operating company. We are in Slovakia also, we've completed this. And now a similar management focus is therefore also in place in Slovakia. Moving to the slide 9. This slide basically gives you, again, it's a historic slide we've been repeating, so many of you are familiar with it. This gives you a whole group at a glance, with telecom infrastructure business on the left, that's the Saturn companies, then the O2 brand and O2 Slovakia, Slovakia network in the middle, and then Yetel, the three remaining countries that we acquired from, of the four that we acquired from Telenor, which is Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia. These countries, let me remind you, have been successfully rebranded as Yetel, which is a PPF telco-owned brand. So we moved to our own brand there in those markets. Moving to slide 10, this slide shows basically the diversification of PPF Telecom Group. You would see that geographically, 49% of our revenues come from the Czech Republic, so half-half, and the other half come from the rest of the countries. You would also see that the largest share of group's EBITDA, which is about 57%, is coming from Czech and Slovakia. These are the countries with better sovereign rating within the region. In Czechia, we obviously benefit from our important fixed business besides the mobile operations, which is included in the overall revenue shares here. Certain groups' infrastructure arm now contributes to about 36% of group's EBITDA, while the O2 operations and Yetel's generate 36% and 28% respectively. So a well-distributed portfolio geographically and across the industry assets. Moving then to the slide 11, basically talks of our financing and debt. You would see that 53% of our debt in this slide sits on top, which is at the PPF Telecom Group. The overall debt sits at 2.5x on our EBITDA multiplier. So we're sitting in a targeted zone of 2.5x on that. We see 53% on the group level, and then 39% of the debt is at the certain group level. And therefore, the operating companies, the customer companies of O2 and Yetel sit with only marginal locally acquired loans. Moving to the slide 12, it gives you a regional market overview. And what I want to highlight here is that with four of the five markets where the spectrum auctions are, or the 5G spectrum auctions are pretty much done, the market structure has kind of remained unchanged, and we therefore have for now a three-player situation in most of our markets. And Serbia spectrum auction is due, and part of Bulgaria auction, as I already talked in the earlier slide, is due. We are successfully competing in these markets against the Western European operators, that is Vodafone and T-Mobile. And then in some of our markets, we are pitched against regional operations of Vivacom and that of Eva. Moving on to the 13th slide, I will hand over at this stage to Marek to take you through the slide 13 onwards.
Okay. Thank you, Balázs. Good afternoon to everyone. Let me give you three key messages on the commercial update for the first half of the year. Message number one, we've been continuously focusing on developing of our 5G networks. As you know, we are developing our networks in the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Bulgaria. And in these markets, we've been focusing on building out the networks and improving our network capabilities, which we have actually gotten confirmed by some of the independent measurements and studies. And happy to see that Bulgaria obtaining fifth consecutive year, the best in test network, enjoying to see Hungary getting back into the fastest network position by Ookla, and also having some interesting measurements coming out of Czech Republic. Not only that, using the 5G network pretty much for driving fixed wireless access customers across the market, across the markets where we are not offering fixed services, meaning today we are basically using mobile network for connecting households across Czech Republic, Slovakia, Bulgaria, and Hungary. Message number two, very positive underlying development of our customers and their underlying spend, pretty much driven in the Czech Republic by a very successful bundling strategy and execution on that. In the other markets, very good execution on CVM activities, customer-based development activities, and new proposition activities. Message number three, executed on a very important event for us. We have rebranded our Telenor brand, or our former brand called Telenor, to our own brand called Yetel successfully, pretty much overnight. at the beginning of second quarter, with no negative impact on customer development, brand perception, any kind of reputational issues whatsoever. So really happy and pleased with that development. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 14, you see mobile revenue market share. All I can say, very pleased to see very stable or growing revenue market share position, which shows how well we execute in the market in a very competitive environment across the region we operate. Moving on to slide number 15, customer base development. Very good results across the board. We're very happy to see that we're able to grow postpaid customer base across all the markets, with two technical comments on this slide. Comment number one, after acquisition, full acquisition of O2 Czech Republic, we have aligned the reporting on prepaid customer base. So now moving from 13 months active to 3 months active, hence the dip in the prepaid base that you see. Underlying performance is untouched. And second, we started to report some of the fixed wireless customers as fixed. So they are deducted from this slide, and this would be something that would be shown for Czech Republic and in Slovakia in particular, but it doesn't really have any material impact on this slide whatsoever. So overall, very pleased with the customer development. Moving on, slide number 16, just a reference to ARPU developments. Again, the message is very pleased with stable or growing average spend per user. So there's no reason to spend more time on this one. Moving to the last slide of my commercial update, slide number 17, zooming into the fixed services of the Czech Republic. As you can see, we have managed to continue to see positive development of the connected household, not only on the underlying business with the DSL customers, but now adding and accelerating also with the fiber base in the Czech Republic. You see that this has been done with a huge contribution of the O2 Czech Republic net adds, but also with some positive net adds from the other wholesale partners of Tetin. Looking at the structure of the network as we are right now, you see that only 13 remaining percent of all homes passed are on so-called below 50 megabits per second speed, which are very remote locations, which we didn't find economical reasons for continuing our cabinet, fiber to the cabinet renewal program. So now we are accelerating and moving fast into the fiber rollout program that we have launched within Tetin and the Czech Republic. Thank you for your attention, and I'll come back later on, now handing over to Lukáš Kubesa.
So good afternoon. Let me comment on our financial performance in the first half of 2022 on my slide 18. Our consolidated revenues grew 4.5% year over year, while domestic revenue, if we exclude the low margin international transit, grew by 5.3% year over year. The growth is positively affected by the continuous demand for our telecommunication services related to the higher data consumption and 5G implementation. As well, appreciation of Czech crown almost 5% year over year contributed to the positive growth. The continued migration of customers from prepaid to contract has also made a positive contribution. EBITDA after leases increased by 7.2%, but positively impacted by the Czech crown appreciation and one-off release of the provisions in Bulgaria. Our EBITDA is negatively impacted by the growing cost base, mainly energy costs and higher personal costs. Another adverse impact is from a newly introduced extra profit tax in Hungary that was imposed for the following 2 years to the selected sectors, including telecommunications. Our total capex has doubled, mainly due to the acquisition of 5G spectrum in Hungary. Excluding the spectrum,
CapEx has grown by 60%, driven principally by the substantial investments in mobile network modernization, 5G rollout, and the rollout of fiber in the Czech Republic. CapEx to revenue ratio, excluding the spectrum, has risen from 10% to 15%, reflecting the peak in mobile network investments. Cash flows, excluding one-off spectrum payments, remained healthy. Declined 20% year-over-year, impacted by the higher CapEx for the modernization of our networks. I want to touch in more details on the inflationary pressures that I mentioned earlier with the help of my slide 19. Inflation is growing everywhere. In our countries of operation, we are hit slightly more than the rest of Europe. Our business is most affected by the higher energy costs to operate our network and by the pressure on the personal expenses. The energy costs increased by 60% year over year. This growth is mainly driven by the increased consumption, especially due to the introduction of 5G mobile services. For the remainder of 2022, we have full visibility on our energy costs, as almost all prices are hedged or subsidized by the government. In our markets, the amount of energy prices that are secured for 2023 is limited. However, the spot prices of energy has recently stabilized. On some markets, governments kept or subsidized the prices of energy and expressed the intention to do so also in 2023. In case of the negative development of the prices. Personal costs increased by 9%. This is partially due to a higher number of FTEs for the new project we are running, but we also see higher pressure resulting from the labor market tension. CapEx prices are generally covered by long-term contracts with vendors, usually without automatic inflation indexation. In some countries, the contracts with our customers contains automatic inflationary clauses, in Bulgaria or Hungary, for example. Moving to slide 20, the group total financial debt has decreased in the first half of the year as we used 325 million euro of proceeds from the sales of minority stake in Cetin Group to repay the better part of O2 loans. Consolidated net leverage has accordingly decreased to 2.5 multiple of EBITDA after leases. This is safely below our 3.2 leverage threshold. In April, we have issued investment grade rated bond by Cetin Group. The proceeds were used in fully to refinance part of the term loans of Cetin Group. We can also see that amortizing loan in Hungary is now extended to 2027, and increased due to fund the 5G spectrum purchase in April. The group continues to keep a substantial amount of cash on its balance sheet, more than 500 million euro at the end of June 2022. There is one more that I wanted to talk about today. I would like to explain a specific new item on our balance sheet. Please refer to my slide 21. According to shareholder agreement concluded between GIC and PPF, within the transaction of 30% stake sale in Cetin Group, GIC has a put option to sell a stake in Cetin Group to PPF Telecom Group in case of the unapproved change of control. Change of control is defined is defined up to ultimate beneficial owner level. This means that a change of majority ownership of PPF Group as such, or change of majority ownership of PPF Telecom Group. In case the put option is exercised, the stake should be valued at its fair market value as of the change of control date. This contingent put option is under full control of PPF, ultimate beneficial owner of PPF Telecom Group. But technically, it is not under control of PPF Telecom Group Board of Directors. Due to unavoidability from the director's point of view, IAS 32 requires a current liability to be recognized. The liability should be measured at the redemption amount which is in our case at fair market value of GIC stake in Cetin Group as of the balance sheet date. Liability must be recognized, although we consider probability of the change of control and thus utilization of the put option close to zero. Telecommunication is a strategic sector for PPF Group and its ultimate beneficial owner. Please refer to section B2 of the interim financial statements for more details. As a result, we have recognized conditional commitment to acquire non-controlling interest share on our balance sheet, which is non-interest bearing and even driven liability. It does not meet the definition of financial debt in bond documentation and therefore does not impact the bond covenant calculation. Our financial policy remains unchanged. Currently, we have open discussion with GIC to amend the shareholder agreement in the way that such liability is recognized in PPF Telecom Group financial statement. Evaluation of this structure matter was the main reason of delayed publication of our first half 2022 financial statement. During negotiations of the transaction with GIC, we nor our accounting advisor did not identify the need to recognize this contingent put option as a liability, as change of control clauses are customary and widely used. Moreover, due to family ownership of PPF Group, which in turn owns PPF Telecom Group from 100%, PPF Telecom Group's management is closely in contact with the shareholders' representatives and board of directors represent the interest of privately owned PPF Group, whose interest is concentrated. The requirement of recognition of the liability was identified by our auditor's technical expert in July during their audit review of the accounting aspects of the transaction with GIC. Afterwards, due to materiality of this liability, we concluded with auditors that the liability needs to be valued by the independent valuation expert, which took some time, unfortunately even longer than usual, due to increased volatility on the markets, which influencing the discount rate used in the valuation, review of the business plan in current inflationary environment, and stricter requirements compared to the standard valuation, as the final outcome of the valuation exercise needed to be a precise value, not the range. This caused the delay in finalization and publication of first half 2022 financial statement. We consider this delay as extraordinary, well, due to the significant and structured nature of the GIC transaction. And this is all from me today. Let me hand over back to Mark.
Okay, now switching heads from sort of commercial part to sustainability part. First of all, let me say sustainability is a topic which has a great legacy at PPF and a great legacy at PPF Telecom Group with a lot of historically very well executed and well recognized projects. So for us, it's very natural to come to this point where we are actually officially introducing this sustainability report that was published in October. We feel that we're formalizing all the great efforts and initiatives that we've been heading in the past and putting some new measures and some new ambitions on top of it. Obviously, the report has a form and shape that requires us to also articulate strategy with concrete measurable and achievable targets. It comes with a common framework of the regular evaluation of our actions, and we have to report on a regular basis to our stakeholders. As for the strategy itself, I think we are very naturally pairing our business objectives with some of the key focus areas where we believe we can make the most significant impact, which is technology, which is environment, which is people, and which is transparency. Now, with the limited time we have, let me just flip through two slides and to give you some key highlights on what you will find in this first sustainability report, what we are focusing on. The first chapter being about technology, I think it's very natural for us to see this to be the first chapter to focus on as a technology provider. We see technology accelerating. We recognize our role that we play in bringing the digital divide, and we recognize the importance of developing our networks in that respect. So we talk about, you know, our investments into our licenses. We talk about our ambitions in terms of the coverage, not only on the 4G side, but now mainly focusing on the 5G side towards 2024, 2027, and some minimum speeds we would like to promise to our customers. The network itself more and more becomes also a question of security and security-related topics. We are picking this security domain as our focus area. We talk about reliability and security, and we talk about initiatives and specific targets as it comes to some concrete products and propositions we would like to penetrate our customers with in order to really drive security aspect of it going forward. Now, moving to the environmental part, obviously we had to do this very important thing to measure our total greenhouse emission, gas emission, you know, impact in terms of scope 1, 2, and 3. Now we understand it. I think we have a very robust reporting framework around it. Now we work with that. And obviously the business units together with us are already starting to articulate the ways how we are going to tackle the environmental ambitions, where we have clearly publicly committed ourselves to science-based targets. So we will come back in 12 to 24 months and bring back the targets, which we will communicate when the time is right and we are ready to do it. But I think the concept of science-based targets is already pretty well defining the framework within which we are going to operate and navigate. The last slide from me is talking about two remaining focus areas. One being the people part. We've been historically very much focusing on the customers and our own employees, so it's very natural for us to pick this area with a lot of targets around the customer engagement, customer NPS, satisfaction, etc. It's fair to say that we're quite pleased to see relatively good gender balance across the all entire employee base, but we also see some deficiency in the upper management layer where we do not meet the current market expectations, and we are committed to launch specific programs to train, to provide platform for the future female leaders to basically take on the new responsibilities in our organization in the upper part of the management. The last, but definitely not least, obviously the company, is having some strict commitments around the corporate governance. We comply with legal regulations, in international treaties, rules, you know, ethics, morals, and fair commercial conduct. We have PPF code of ethics applied across PPF Telecom Group. And the code is in the public domain, so it's accessible. It's something that we take very seriously and act accordingly in this important area. The sustainability governance structure has been put in place at the PPF Telecom Group. We have established a sustainability executive committee, which is meeting once per quarter, reviewing the progress on the initiatives. I'm the formal chairman of this committee, and in terms of the ultimate overall accountability for this area, obviously Balázs, as the group CEO, has that fully on his shoulder, so to say. With saying that, let me say thank you for your attention and handing over to back to Jan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, you may press star two. Please ensure you're unmuted locally when asking your question. Our first question for today comes from Philippe Lacaille from ODDO BHF. Philippe, your line is now open.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Yeah, perfect. Yeah, good afternoon and congratulations on the results. I have some questions. First of all, could you provide more color on your CapEx for full year 22 and for the future? Is it more in line with the last years, or should we expect higher CapEx investments for the next years?
Yeah, sure. So you can see that in 2022, the first half compared to the first half 2021, we increased our capex relatively significantly. It is because we are really peaking with our investment into the 5G and 5G network rollout and mobile network modernization. We are doing the full run swap in Czech Republic, in Slovakia, and in Hungary. And we are implementing in those countries 5G ready equipment. And on top, we are doing the relatively huge 5G rollout in Bulgaria. So you see that we are peaking our capex. As well, we are investing heavily in fiber in Czech Republic. Going forward, we are not giving you the guidance, but you can expect that for, let's say, one or maybe 2 years, you will still experience this kind of level of peak. And then after our investment into the mobile network is over, you can again see the decrease to the previous level we were in previous years.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And then secondly, you reported a strong EBITDA margin with 47%. How sustainable is this margin considering the difficult macro environment?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your beginning of the sentence. If you can repeat.
Yes, it was regarding your EBITDA margin. It was quite high this quarter, but how sustainable is this margin for the future?
Yes, I try to explain that we are under cost pressure. We see that there is growing energy cost across the whole Europe. As well, there is pressure on the salaries, which is really tangent from current inflation environment. We believe that partially we will need to increase our prices towards the customers because of this, but it's very hard to predict right now what will be exact the EBITDA margin at the year end or next year.
Okay.
I try to highlight you what is the extent on my slide. I think it was 19. What is the extent of these main two cost drivers which are driving our cost?
Okay. And then last, what is your outlook for the future?
We are not giving the guidance.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can press star one on your telephone keypad. As a final reminder, to ask a question, that's star one on your telephone keypad. Okay, we currently have no further questions, so I'll hand back to Jan Hook for any further remarks.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations and we will be happy to oblige. And now on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.